It's a joy to be here with you today to mark 75 years of the People's Republic of China and to commemorate the world historical contributions of the Chinese Revolution. And while today is a very happy occasion, we are also meeting in perilous times. The crisis of the imperialist system has led to the outbreak of punishing wars in Eastern Europe and Western Asia. And as we speak, war clouds are gathering in East Asia under the auspices of the new Cold War. And it is our belief that the Korean Peninsula has now emerged as the most volatile flashpoint in the region. Korea today is at the highest risk of war that it has been in for decades. While it is true that since 1953, the Korean War has been in a suspended state, and while it is true that for all this time, the United States has retained tens of thousands of troops, dozens of military bases on our peninsula, there has been a significant change over the last couple of years. What I'm speaking of is changes in the political conditions within the peninsula itself, which have now deteriorated to the point that we can say we are in a new era of Korean history and therefore the history of the region as well. What is the cause of this change? To begin, the South Korean regime today has deteriorated to a more reactionary and subservient position than it has been for decades. Under the current president, Yoon Suk-yeol, the Republic of Korea has declared its right to launch preemptive strikes against the DPRK. It has also declared Pyongyang its so-called principal enemy. Last year, the Republic of Korea betrayed the masses of Korean people on both sides of the peninsula and around the world by entering into a military alliance with Japan, our first colonizer. It has also rolled out the red carpet for a massive escalation in US war threats in Korea. In 2023, US Forces Korea engaged in 200 days of war exercises on our peninsula. This spring, the militaries of 12 nations were invited to participate in these barbaric war games for the first time ever. And just last month, the United States and the Republic of Korea held a series of nuclear war exercises on our peninsula, initiating rehearsals for a nuclear strike on Korea, which are likely to only grow in their complexity and severity in the years to come. So given these and other escalations, the DPRK made the momentous decision earlier this year to abandon the strategy of peaceful reunification with the Republic of Korea. The DPRK now recognizes a paradigm of two hostile states on the Korean Peninsula for the first time in its history. This marks a definitive end to the era when peaceful reunification remained a possibility in Korea. The only party at the present moment that is speaking of reunification in explicit terms is the Republic of Korea, under the auspice of what it calls a new freedom-based unification doctrine. This calls for regime change in the DPRK via means of color revolution or by any means necessary. It is simply a recipe for war. So we are now in a sharper and more dangerous stage of the Korean anti-imperialist struggle. Consequently, the peninsula has now become the most volatile flashpoint in East Asia, where the contradiction between the forces of imperialism and anti-imperialism are at their highest, and therefore so is the threat of war. We must note that there has not been a single conflict on the Korean Peninsula since 1895 that did not involve outside powers or eventually spiral into a regional confrontation. If the US imperialists and South Korean ruling class succeed in achieving a war in Korea, this will spiral into a regional war and likely into a global one as well between nuclear powers. These conditions raise a point of strategic concern for the world anti-imperialist movement and particularly for those of us here in the United States. As friends of revolution everywhere, as anti-imperialists, as socialists, we have to collectively recognize the need to confront the US's military encirclement of China. We also have to recognize the particular role of solidarity with the national liberation struggles of occupied countries in the vicinity. And we have to see that there is a special role that the DPRK plays in US imperialist strategy. The United States cannot always afford politically to antagonize China, because China has become a world power. However, Washington can always lean on the DPRK as a reliable scapegoat and thereby achieve the same strategic aims in the region. We have to note that the new Japan-Korea-United States alliance and the Japan-Philippines alliance were both formed citing the alleged threat posed by the DPRK as their justification. As a result, what we're now seeing is that Asian NATO is rising, using the DPRK as a very reliable scapegoat, and we know that that structure will be weaponized against all the countries of our region. So it's in recognition of these facts that Noruto has launched the U.S. out of Korea campaign earlier this year. I'm very proud and happy and grateful to note that a number of the organizations in attendance today have endorsed this campaign, joining more than 60 organizations around the U.S. that have thrown their weight behind the call for the United States to leave Korea for good. The reason we've called this campaign is to redirect the energy of the former peaceful reunification movement towards a direct confrontation with U.S. imperialism. Since the end of Japanese colonialism, the process of decolonization and national liberation in Korea have been violently interrupted by the United States. For the past 79 years, the United States has waged a war against the Korean people, which is in actuality a war against all the peoples of Asia, all the working peoples of the world. And it's in that spirit that we recognize that this campaign is not only for Korean people, but for all progressive peoples of the United States and the world who oppose imperialism and struggle for a common future. Consequently, we've put forward the following demands, and I urge everyone here and all of you listening on Zoom to visit usoutofkorea.org to learn more. Our first demand is the full and permanent withdrawal of U.S. troops and weapon systems from Korea and the immediate return of all Korean land, water, and airspace appropriated by the U.S. military to the Korean people. Secondly, we demand an end to all U.S.-South Korean alliances, including the Japan-Korea-U.S. Trilateral Security Cooperation. We demand an end to all U.S.-South Korea joint command structures, the Combined Forces Command, the United Nations Command, any form in which they may take, recognizing that these primarily exist for the U.S. to dominate South Korea militarily and use it as an appendage. Third, we demand an end to all U.S. military exercises in Korea, all forms of war threats against the DPRK, including sanctions against the North Korea, whether they be implemented through the United States government or the UN Security Council. And fourth, we demand the U.S. government divert spending from war, prisons, and policing. We demand housing, education, healthcare, and climate justice for working people. There are $1.5 trillion that the U.S. expends on war alone every single year. Meanwhile, we have hurricanes buffeting Appalachia. We have homeless people in the streets of this city. We have more child poverty than we have seen in decades. We say enough is enough. Thus far, since the launch of our campaign, we have staged rallies this August, attended by hundreds of people in three cities, against the annual Ulji Freedom Shield U.S. War Games in Korea, which are some of the largest military exercises on Earth. We will continue to mount and expand our resistance in the coming years. We invite everyone here to participate in that process and join us in the work of providing further education, not only to the general public, but also to the left concerning the U.S.'s role in Korea and the war threats that are emanating from it. We know that we're at a pivotal time in U.S. politics. Many people are wondering how the outcome of this election will shape the future of this country and the world. We can't see the future, but one thing that we know for certain is that in the years to come, as the U.S. enters its final crisis, it will only sink its teeth further into Korea as a means of achieving war in the region. So we stand ready to interrupt that process, to organize people, to mount resistance and fight for a liberated future where we no longer have to contend with the threat of imperialism domestically or abroad.